You like them? Have you ever gone home to what you thought was a dark house and you walk in the door and your friends jump out at you and say, "Happy birthday! Happy anniversary!" Do you like surprises, or do you wish that people really wouldn't? How many of you like surprises? How many of you could do without them? Yeah, it's just normal. Sometimes by temperament we think, yikes. Do you enjoy it when gifts show up at your front door unexpectedly? Oh yeah, that's great. Do you enjoy it when you get a surprise refund from the IRS? Oh yeah, does that ever happen? How about surprises like a flat tire when you're trying to get to work? Or a check from your account that didn't quite clear? Surprise. If we were to choose a subtitle for the gospel text that Bob read this morning, it might be "The Surprising God." We've got the sheep and the goats. Both groups are surprised. Neither group seems to be really aware of what in the world Jesus is talking to. Jesus, the Son of God, comes to earth in power and majesty to judge the nations, and all the angels are with him. How many angels would that be? All the angels are with them. He sits upon the throne of grace, and he calls the nations forth to answer up. And he separates who on his left? The goats. Who on his right? The sheep. And then he addresses each group. Team goats and team sheep. Now, one of my questions is, what did Jesus have against goats? I rather like them. You know, goats, on average, are much smarter than sheep. Sheep give wool, which as a knitter I really like, but goats give that wonderful mohair that is so soft and feels so wonderful. Goats give milk that makes wonderful cheese. You can get it at Aldi's. Goats always have a herd queen. That's a royal inherited title among the goats. And the herd queen leads the way, chooses the pasture for grazing, and tests new plants herself. She munches on them to make sure they're okay for everybody else to eat. Sheep have little patterns of dominance or organization. Their only protection from predators is twofold. One is to bunch together, and the other is to run like mad. They get panicked easily. It's not entirely a compliment when Jesus says we are like sheep without a shepherd. Been more complimentary if he'd said we are like goats. At least we'd have a game plan. Anyway, Jesus addresses the sheep first, and he says, "Enter into the kingdom that my Father has prepared for you from the beginning of the ages, because you did all these wonderful things for me. You fed me, gave me something to drink, clothed me, took care of me when I was sick, came to prison to visit me." And the sheep responded like we'd expect sheep to respond. "Huh? When did we do that? We didn't see you in any of those places. Why do you have joy in our behavior, Lord?" Jesus says, "Well, actually, when you did it to one of the most unfortunate of my family, one of the least of these, you did it to me." And you can just see those sheep saying, "Seriously, is he talking to us?" Then on the left, the goats receive their judgment. Same deal. They did not do the things that the sheep did. They're going to be packed up and sent off for eternal punishment, which I guess means they're going to be made into kebabs. The goats are just as befuddled as the sheep. "Lord, when in the world did we see you in need and refuse to supply it? If we'd have known it was you, we would have done it in a heartbeat." Both groups, the ones commended and the one judged, had no idea that Jesus was before their noses. Note that in this passage, the judgment of the nations has little to do with doctrine or theology, which Christians have been busy fussing over for the last 2,000 years, dividing, discussing, and sometimes killing each other. What the nations are judged on is action. What the sheep have actually done, called the corporal works of mercy, and what the goats have not done. Maybe the goats felt like we do sometimes that they want to stay pure from the world. They didn't want to get their hooves sullied with the outcast problems. Maybe the goats spent their lives gazing and waiting for the King of Glory to show up and look like royalty. Where do we see Jesus in our midst day to day? Where does the gospel say to look for them? Years ago, we were with one of our kids in a work camp in Dayton, Ohio. We were in a housing project area doing Bible school for kids. We also spent a day in a soup kitchen. And it was run by a very savvy, faithful black woman from that neighborhood, a very committed Christian. I remember how she gathered us together and prayed. She said, "Lord, there are going to be some difficulties in this soup kitchen today. We'll have issues when folks come through the line. But Lord, we also know who is coming to be served. And may we serve you well when you come." You know, love changes everything. Love makes all things new. We love and we help others, not necessarily because it's convenient for us or because people always deserve it, but because we know Jesus and we are compelled to share his love. Do you remember the seven works of mercy, corporal works of mercy? Feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, welcome the stranger, clothe the naked, visit the sick, visit the prisoner, bury the dead. Universal needs at all times and in all neighborhoods. You know, the biggest surprise in this passage is that even those who faithfully served the sheep and are commended failed to recognize Jesus when they had been in his presence all along. When the Lord returns in glory, we will all know it. Nobody is going to miss that when it happens, believer or unbeliever. When Jesus comes again, it will be obvious. But until then, Jesus says, "Look for me in your midst and be prepared to serve me." Will we recognize him? Where does Jesus hang out on earth according to the Gospels? Well, God, says Jesus, is not ruling from Rome or from Athens, I would add, or from Moscow or from Washington. Jesus does not seem to hang out in places of power and dominance. Those on the left, the goats, those on the right, the sheep, missed him entirely, and the risk is that we will miss him too. How will we see God in the dark and dirty places of the world? Well, Matthew says, we're going to see Jesus by meeting the needs of our neighbors. We will see Jesus in the faces of the poor and the homeless and the imprisoned. Surprise! We will see Jesus when we live our lives as announcers of God's reign breaking into the world. We will see Jesus when we live as Christ's love in our neighborhood. Extraordinary times sometimes call for extraordinary love. The Cuseys, the Dutch part of my family, comes from Zeeland, Flanders, little rural area of southwest Holland along the North Sea, right near the coast. England's not very far across the channel. During World War II, that area housed a lot of Jews because it was simple to hide people in the barn. They communicated by tilting the windmills whether it was safe to go or not. Boats from England would come at night and off the Jewish families would go to England. The Cuseys hid Jews in the barn like everybody else. Except they had a problem one day. They had a knock at the door and there were two young Nazi officers who they were required to house. It's a little awkward to have Nazi officers in the spare bedroom and Jews in the barn. But they worked it out somehow. They got the Jews out of there, continued to work smuggling people across the border. When I visited and extolled these cousins for their wonderful work, they stopped me short, and they said there was nothing heroic about it. We simply did what decent Christian people all did. I've remembered that ever since and asked myself, And what do just decent Christian people need to do now? Let's be decent people in the name of Jesus. We could commit to a Christian way of living that refuses to hate and disrespect people on other sides of political issues than we find ourselves. We could refuse to hate and disrespect and denigrate. Let's build a community of God's love, justice, and peace in the way we relate to each other and invite people in our midst to join us. Let's share this with proactive love to all who come through our doors. God's reign is here, among us, within us. God's love comes to make all things new. We will know we are faithful when outsiders start to show up and join us. People different than what we're used to. The Magi are always en route. Who are these people? Foreigners, astrologers. What on earth were they doing mixing with faithful Jews? Who let them in? Herod will not stand for it. Is there room to receive them? Because they will come with their own gifts that will make our lives richer and will change us with their own faithfulness and their own call from God. And because Jesus loves those outsiders just as deeply as he loves us. You know, I've seen the face of Jesus in many places. I know you have too. Guchlin Prison for Women is one. One of my favorite places to hang out back when. Cairo's prison ministry is a wonderful thing. There is no royalty among the inmates in prison. They are all goats and no sheep. One of the things you might notice right off is the ladies in prison do their own plumbing. Last time I was there, the meeting room was stone cold and the toilets were bubbling with water, steam coming off as they were learning plumbing. Things are odd in prison, but you know, people are there. Women with hard faces who are committed to not letting anybody close. They don't want more judgment or rejection, and they already hate themselves. Women who, when they do their sharing in faith groups, often cannot come up with one positive childhood experience. Meanwhile, Christians are bathing this weekend in prayer 24 hours a day. And the Holy Spirit begins to work. And this group, this is a very odd group. You've got some hard-boiled felons, and you've got some nice church ladies. The vocabulary is quite different in both groups. But the Holy Spirit begins to melt people. We begin to love each other. The walls begin to come down, and that's what God's love does among people. Then some of these inmates begin to realize if people could love them, and we seem to, maybe God could even love them. And then they realize that God does love them. They kneel and they weep and they commit themselves to the Lord. One inmate, her name is Turtle Dove. She's serving 5 life sentences. She'll never get out. Probably doesn't need to get out. But the Lord has found her in prison. She read scripture for us on Palm Sunday. Jesus riding into Jerusalem, not on a great war horse, but on a humble little donkey, bearing Jesus in humility and peace. That, Turtle Dove said, is the way I want to live the rest of my life. I want to be that little donkey, bearing the light of Jesus. Me too. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.